Al Horford, 2 for 2 and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
123-116. Lowry misses a three. Horford has the rebound. Celtics have to clear half court. They do. And the final seconds will tick off. And the Celtics have answered the bell. Two heavyweight slugfests with the Raptors early in the year. But tonight, it's the Celtics led by 43 from Kyrie Irving that answer and even the season series at a game apiece. The final score in overtime, Boston 123, Toronto 116.
It's just not too often during the regular season you get to have games like this, you know, so it's just, you want to take full advantage of them. They're a great test for your team on both ends of the basketball floor. You know, they're a great player, you know, now the locker room. So, you know, you just got to be on your P's and Q's for the unknown. And, you know, that's the, it's just a competition, the level of play raises, and you just got to appreciate that.
Welcome into the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Joe, it's Jim Murray along with Joe Murray and Boston Sports Journal Brian Robb, who's actually producing the show. We're all with you here if you want to talk Celtics over the next hour at 617-779-0985. That was the final call of last night's extremely entertaining Celtics overtime win over the Raptors. 123-116 was the final score at TD Garden. You also heard Kyrie Irving, who finished this game with 43 points, including 39 in regulation. Maybe his best game as a member of the Boston Celtics. And I have to say, right off the top here, I feel vindicated. I felt vindicated at the end of the game last night, because yesterday I sat with Felger and Maz and said it was a must-win game for the Celtics. Big picture, was it that important? Like, one out of 82? No, I'm not stupid. But in terms of the spot and in terms of shutting people up like me who are getting at least small-c concerned about how this team has looked so far this year, and those who could point to what would have been two losses to an improved Raptors team, well, I think that was an enormous, enormous win for them. It was a must win. And here's why I feel vindicated. Kyrie Irving knew it. Kyrie Irving balled out. Kyrie Irving knew we have to assert ourselves here in the East. It's time to stop playing around. And maybe it was, if you want to look at that and say, okay, it was, well, a phenomenal performance by Kyrie Irving, but ultimately too much Kyrie, we're relying too much on Kyrie. No. They had to win that game. And they really, what they showed at the end of the fourth quarter when they're down five with, what, just about 2 minutes to play, and the performance you got from Jason Tatum late and how he played in overtime, phenomenal. Like, it showed, okay, this is, and even, I'll say this too, I think it was Gordon Hayward's best game in a Celtics uniform. Those three combined, it showed, okay, like, we're not losing this game. We're not losing this to this Raptors team that is going to be an issue in the East. It's time to really assert ourselves and show, like, okay, like, for all the hype that's been surrounding this team heading into the season, we're not losing this. We're not losing this to this Raptors team. And that's what they did. It was, it was great. Kyrie Irving shows, yes, bona fide stud. He is the glue to this team and their offensive success this season. But it was encouraging to see the game that you got out of Gordon Hayward as well and Jason Tatum. Are there some concerns? Sure, and we'll get to those. Looks like Al Horford is I don't want to say a shell of himself, but he definitely looks like he's not where he was at last year, so that's a bit of a concern. And Jaylen Brown straight up benched late in the fourth and throughout the overtime, and he continues to be kind of a black hole in terms of the offense. So there are some concerns, but overall, that was a gutty, great win for the Celtics last night. I want to hear from you on your thoughts on this this game last night at 617-779-0985. I don't know. So, B-Rob, I'll start with you. You cover the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. You were there last night. Well, let's go to Hayward first, because I thought that this was, is it too strong to say that maybe this was a breakout game for him and how he was used, how many minutes he got last night?
No, I don't think that's a reach at all, Jim. It's actually, you know, what I wrote about after the game last night on the Journal, just because, again, you look at the minutes, 39, which obviously is a huge season high for him. But the fact is, he just seemed to start to figure out what his role was on this team. And Brad Stevens talked about it after the game, saying, you know, he needs to be a jack of all trades for us. Like, some nights we're going to need 20 shots from him, some nights we'll need 8 from him. But in the last minute of that game, his fingerprints were all over Jim, just in terms of, you know, boxing out Siakam, drawing the foul there, getting the steal that led to the fast break and the Tatum, you know, dunk in the last minute, you know, closing that 4-point deficit. So, to be honest, it reminded me doing a lot of the dirty work that Marcus Smart used to do, or still does, but yeah. Then you get the offensive upside on top of that. So if he can like kind of embrace that role going forward more, I think that makes this team obviously what we expected to see at the beginning of the year.
Was there too much on Kyrie last night? Did you think that, like, look, for him to have that type of game night in, night out, especially now to have a back-to-back tonight with Utah, it's maybe too much to ask, but was that too much?
We'll find out tonight, yeah. I guess, but I think he needed more. Even if he has to sit out tonight, it doesn't matter, I feel like, because he needed that confidence boost for himself last night.
Yeah.
Just in terms of, you know, playing at that kind of, you know, in crunch time against an elite opponent and actually, like, not looking out of place doing it. Like, he had been, the numbers said he had hurt this team, like, in terms of, you know, the team was much better with him off the floor this year, understandably so, given where he's at. But he had, a team high plus 18 and plus minus last night, and I think that was kind of indicative of the impact he had.
Was I wrong to put too much, you know, in terms of what this game meant? Is it just another game in November? Again, big picture. Like, I don't want to, you know, I said it, you know, I don't want to come off like a complete idiot. It wasn't like must win in terms of like what seeding is going to matter or anything like that. But I think in terms of their confidence and how they ultimately end up coming back in this game, especially when it felt like it was slipping away at times in the third quarter, yeah, it was a must win. I think that they needed to show at least the rest of the league, or at least the rest of the East, on some of us that have, again, small C concerns, like, no, everybody calm down. We're going to be fine.
Yeah, and honestly, I think it was just as important for themselves, Jim, just to be like, hey, we were in all these games out west, but we couldn't pull it together late in these games. We were falling apart, and it was a different thing every night, it seemed like. But again, Toronto's playing better than anyone across the association right now. And, I mean, it is just 1 out of 82, but yeah, we see how much better this team looks at home. And if you fall down in the season series 2-0 to Toronto and 4.5 back in, like, the top seed in the East, like, yeah, tons of time left, but, you know, I don't think the Raptors are going to go into a big swing at all this year based on how deep and talented they are. So, from a standing standpoint, from just a, hey, you know, we're going to be able to play with these guys when it counts standpoint, you know, I don't think you're underrating it at all. That's like, this was the test they kind of needed to pass at this point.
Yeah, no, this is a day that you should crow as a Celtics fan, and you know, for anyone that was a little bit concerned, and I think you were right too, because some of the rotations have looked off. It felt like it's been too much either iso ball, or it's been too much, you want it? No. Do you want it? Who should I go to? Like, there's just been too much confusion in terms of how the starting five has looked so far. But last night, in terms of, again, Gordon Hayward, 39 minutes, making clutch free throws, great playmaking, both ends of the floor. Like, you got to feel good about that. Kyrie Irving, again, just has been a revelation since he's been here, but that was his best game, I think, maybe overall as a member of the Celtics. And, you know, if you ever doubted his ability to close, well, again, watch that. And then Jason Tatum. It was fine. You know, it was great to see how Tatum ended up playing late in that game, especially in the overtime. So a lot to, I think, alleviate some of the fears or concerns that people might have had about this team with last night's game against an extremely quality opponent in the Toronto Raptors. Some of the things that were little negatives, though. Jaylen Brown, again, benched late in the fourth and in overtime. Al Horford, maybe looking a little bit old. Anything else stick out to you, B-Rob, in terms of concerns from last night that don't look like they've really changed all that much, specifically with those two players?
Yeah, Horford, he just hasn't been, and you'll feel like we're just right all year long. And I think that matchup against Ibaka is going to be a tough one if these...
Well, he killed him in that first game.
Right, exactly. And then even last year, if you go back to it, like, he just, you know, suffocates him on the perimeter. You know, Horford can't post him up because he's got the strength there. And I don't know, I think Ibaka might have gone to Germany or something this offseason because he looked like he was done last year against the Cavs. And now out of nowhere, he's back to, like, Oklahoma City Ibaka again, which is, you know, a problem if you're the Celtics. So, I mean, Horford, I think the key with him is just, you know, you need to preserve him for 82 here if you're Brad Stevens. And luckily he has the roster to do that. Like, Baines is playing more now. I feel like Baines looked good last night, and you have Tice there too. So again, once everyone else kind of gets going here, then, you know, you take a less pressure off of Horford and you make sure that he's, you know, kind of at his peak when the postseason rolls around. And as far as Jaylen goes, I mean, I think this is just going to be you're going to have with the depth. It's not going to be the same crunch time five every night. And once Hayward kind of asserts himself and gets comfortable now, I think you can kind of, you know, put his name and pen in that closing five. So it's going to rotate. It's going to be Marcus Morris. It's going to be Marcus Smart or Jaylen Brown in a certain night. And last night it was Morris. And
yeah, but it feels like to me at times this year that he almost like, I don't know, mentally checks himself out of the game if things aren't going his way or if he's not getting the minutes, because he ended up having 7 points by the time they took their first timeout, and that was really it. And right. He looked like a sad puppy dog when he knew he was going to the bench for the last time of the night. So that's where, I don't know, it feels like he just, either he can't get out of his own way or he just doesn't know what his role is. I had such high expectations, and I think a lot of Celtics fans did, about Jaylen Brown going into the season, and he has taken a major step back.
Yeah, and I think, Jim, he's talked a little bit this week. You know, he hears the footsteps behind him, and I think that's hard for him. I think he's coming to grips with that. And to your point, that leads to him maybe forcing a little bit. He's came out real hot and then, you know, missed 7 shots. And obviously he doesn't have the handle right now to, like, kind of force things in traffic in the paint, you know, leads to turnovers, leads to tough shots. And so he's just going to have to, you know, come to terms with the fact, being like, hey, I'm best on this team as, you know, a fourth or fifth option on the floor playing great defense. And that's the way I'm going to get my minutes right now. And the sooner he comes to, you know, figure that out, you know, the better he'll be and the better the team will be, I think.
617-779-0985. It is the Sports Hub Celtics show. You should be pumped about last night's win. Again, one I called a must win, and I felt vindicated because Kyrie Irving and the way he played in that game, and the same with Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward, no, I think that they also knew, like, this, yeah, it's kind of a must win. We need to assert ourselves against the rest of the East and this team that at least waxed us in the fourth quarter the last time we saw them in the second game of the season. We're not losing to the Raptors at home. It ain't happening. Big win for them last night. 123-116 was the final. Great games, obviously, from Kyrie and Gordon Hayward and Jason Tatum. Still some small concerns, but you want to talk about this game? Let's hear from you. 617-779-0985. We'll focus a little bit more on Gordon Hayward's night next and hear from you on the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gordon Hayward leans into a three on the move and knocks it down. Mental note about this sequence for Gordon Hayward.
I was wondering if they were going to take me out of the game at some point in time. Happy that he left me in. It felt good to play that many minutes. It's been such a long time since I've done that, so that was a good confidence builder.
He's a good player, and there's going to be a curve. And, you know, I think that 15 on 8 shots is pretty good when you consider how much we're asking him to handle the ball and make plays for others. But he's done a lot of things in the last couple weeks where you can see those steps are being made, and just a matter of feeling good again. 39 minutes is a good step in the right direction as far as just his confidence.
Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So that was Gordon Hayward, followed by head coach Brad Stevens, talking about Hayward's night. As you heard from coach Brad Stevens, he goes season high 39 minutes in this game, finished with 15 points, 6 for 6 from the charity stripe. So, okay, if you just look at the box score and you didn't watch that game last night, you could be like, 15 points, what's it matter? But if you did watch, and why I said earlier that it was the best game so far for Gordon Hayward in Celtics uniform, it was all like the, well, I think you could make the case that down the stretch, fourth quarter and overtime, like, if it wasn't Kyrie Irving, it was Gordon Hayward making all the big plays that ultimately led to the Celtics win over Toronto last night. You know, he was knocking down big shots, obviously the free throws, again, 6 for 6 from the line. He was rebounding well, like, I don't know. There's a lot of little things. You always hear about you're not paying attention to the little things. You know, people that will sometimes doubt a guy like Al Horford. Last night, it was all about the little things with Gordon Hayward. So a great game for him, encouraging. I wouldn't expect, well, actually, B-Rob, I'll ask you. You know, they have this back-to-back against Utah, and it was, you know, he had to play against Utah last Friday. Like, oh, God forbid he misses game going back to his old team. Does he even play tonight? Did they sit him out? Have you heard anything, or would it be minimal minutes?
Yeah, so we asked him after the game. He said, you know, I think he's going to wake up today and see how it feels.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's on, like, more of a minutes limit tonight, since obviously this is the biggest test so far, and there's, you know, no need to go over 35 minutes in back-to-back games. But at the same time, it's a Jazz. I think it'd probably be pretty tough to tell him to sit out unless, like, it was absolutely necessary tonight.
Yeah. Okay. Well, again, we'll get your calls on this game and anything related to the Celtics at 617-779-0985. Also, Joe Murray is alongside as well. I know you had some thoughts on how Aaron Baines should and has been used at times, but you want to see this going forward as a little bit more of a permanent thing, Baines in that starting five.
Yeah, I just think it makes an impact. He's a rim protector. Like, I know he's not this, you know, shot blocker or whatever that people think he is, but I just think him in the game, he's a little bit more physical, him and Morris on the court. And as you saw late in that fourth quarter last night, he made a huge impact. And yeah, I also think Brad Stevens had some struggles in the game with lineups, but it was interesting. No Marcus Smart, no Jaylen Brown. in the fourth quarter, and I think at some point he's going to have to go to that lineup.
Yeah, and I mentioned earlier that you see the look of disappointment. I thought it was pretty obvious on Brown's face. Look, someone's going to end up having to get disappointed. This was going to happen. This was the quote-unquote good problem to have with this team. A lot of mouths to feed. Well, that's it. And if Brown's going to have to be dejected, well, so be it, you know, because it's about actually having success and wins this year. Someone's going to end up having to get disappointed, or maybe someone like Terry Rozier ends up getting traded between now and the trade deadline. But someone's going to end up unhappy. But, I don't want to spend too much time on the negative aspect of what's going on with this team and other little concerns. Last night was a gigantic win. It really was. It was to me. But what about you? We'll start off with AJ and Lynn. You're first up here on the Sports Hub Celtics show this afternoon. Hi, AJ.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up?
I love Kyrie. I mean, this team goes nowhere without him. I mean, he's just a guy that you can give the ball and you can just get out of the way and just let him score. And I don't think we have anybody else on this team that can really do that. And just, I don't know what it is about green teamers. I hate green teamers, and I'm a Celtics fan. And it's just like, I mean, at this club, they always talk about how we could trade Kyrie and we could have Terry step in and Marcus Smart come in. It's just, no, you can't. I mean, if you don't have Kyrie on the court, you're not going anywhere. You're not a championship contender. And with the quick point on Jaylen Brown, he reminds me a lot of Jeff Green. I mean, just somebody who just had all the physical tools but just won't use them. I mean, a guy wants to be a jump shooter, and he's just not a jump shooter. And he just needs to learn how to get to the basketball and maybe just use some of his other skills.
Yeah, thanks, AJ. It's a good bad comp because I'm with you on that. Sometimes that's the first name that comes to mind. Like, man, you should be better than this. How many times did you say that about Jeff Green?
That's harsh, though. I mean, like, Jaylen had a... Given where he was last year, like, the Jeff Green comparisons might have been there in year one, but I think he kind of put them to the bed in year two, so hopefully they don't seep back into the conversation now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm a harsh critic, though, B-Rob, in case you haven't noticed. Alex in Peabody, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hello.
Hey, Murray, how are you guys doing?
Good, what's up?
Oh, nothing much. I'm really excited about the win yesterday. That was huge for Kyrie. We needed every bit of it. And I agree with you. That was not too much Kyrie because I think he relishes that role of being that volume scorer. Every once in a while, he wants to be that volume scorer where we could rely on him. And like Brad Stevens said it last night. I mean, if you get Kyrie in space like that, he's going to make plays. And what the caller was saying about Jaylen Brown, yeah, I agree. He's got to take it more to the basket. His shot is really struggling early on this year, and that's how he's got to make his mark with his team, is take it into the basket. He's got to be solid on defense, and this is the part that's tough when there's a lot of players on this team. And so I just think that someone's going to be the odd man out at the end of the day, and I do love Baines in that starting lineup. You know, and some of those lineups in the fourth quarter, you got to go big. You have to have a big guy down there. He's going to protect the rim for you. He's always done that for you. And really great win. We needed to solidify this win against Toronto. We had to kind of keep everybody quiet here. But I kind of like where this is going. And now we got Utah tonight. Let's see if we can get them back.
Thanks,
Alex. I'll let you guys talk.
Thanks, Alex. At the very least, it's a confidence builder for the team, and I think that they needed it. And like, okay, like I got to take that win against the Bulls with a grain of salt because they basically don't play defense, and the Bulls are terrible. But that last night, no, that's legit, and this is something that they can build off going forward. And Kyrie, like, the thing that I was the most impressed with, and you know, look, you've been paying attention to the league, you've watched this guy, even he was with Cleveland, like, you know how he can close, you know that the talent is there, he's been a joy to watch, even when he was with the Cavs. But that, like, that last night is what they needed. He said no, like, they're down. That third quarter, it starts to get away from them a little bit, it's like, oh, geez, like, this is going to end up happening again. And Kyrie Irving just straight up said, no, it's not happening, not on my watch. And he really saved his best for last. That's what was so impressive to watch. You can't count on that type of output night in, night out, but when they really need it, I mean, like, that's the guy. And I think he does relish in being the guy. Steven Medford, you're next here in the Sports Hub Celtics show. Hey, Steve.
So in terms of last night, I thought the key thing was that they were aggressive. I mean, even the beginning of the game, Jaylen was going to the basket, and then there was a key play late in the game, Jim. I don't know if you remember, but I think Tatum up-faked. It was like a couple minutes to go. He up-faked on three. Then he drove to the basket and dunked on the Raptors, and it just showed that last night was important, and they didn't settle for threes. I think they only had 26 threes last night, and they were attacking the basket. Kyrie was attacking the basket. And that shows the importance of last night's game is they weren't settling. They were going to the basket, getting free throws, and getting easy buckets.
I know exactly the play that you are talking about, Steve. We're going to play the audio of it coming up in our next segment, and I'm with you 100% on this. And it was Tatum specifically, too, that I thought was more aggressive going to the rim last night. And I want to see more of this. Like, I get this is the new NBA. It's 3 and D. They rely on the nerds. The 3 is more important than the 2. But considering the athleticism of those of the two young studs, and Brown and Tatum, go to the hoop. Like, you can bully guys. You got the build, especially Brown and how, you know, the ups he gets. Like, you can go to the hoop. Like, I want to see more of that. But I know that's not really today's NBA, but it's frustrating because, well, in a game like last night, it proves, like, the more aggressive they are going to the rim, like, the better they are. And Baines can be used better in that situation, too, and it opens up the perimeter a little bit more for them. Am I wrong in thinking that B-Rob? I know the game has changed and they're more reliant on the three-point shot, but it's just it frustrates me in seeing that because you see how successful they can be when they are as aggressive as they were last night.
Yeah, no question. And I think when you talk about a guy like Baines, Jim, like, the value of him, too, is just, like, he just sets monster picks. And, again, that creates these lanes to get for these guys to get to the hoop. So you just look at where they are in terms of shot selection, and they rank in the bottom 5 in the league in attempts at the rim. So it's not like, you know, they're not going there. So they just need to start to build the confidence to finish there, whether it's Hayward kind of getting his rhythm back, you know, Kyrie, you know, just picking, you know, not settling. And then, like you said, Jaylen Brown, like, he was, you know, obviously the one guy in the starting five that has the athleticism to get there whenever he wants. You know, he needs to kind of commit to that and, you know, make good decisions when to do it, and not, like, do it when, like, Rudy Gobert is, like, waiting there for him.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. We have two open lines. You want to join us, talk last night's Celtics big win over the Toronto Raptors. We'll get to more of your calls coming up next. And play again. That was a great call from Grandy and Max last night, that call that the last caller was just referencing, where, you know, you see Jason Tatum go to the rim, and it was like, okay, it was like this earth-shattering dunk. Like, okay, all right, we want to see more of this. The aggressiveness of the Celtics and their offense last night, I want to see more of that. So we'll get to that and your calls next. Sports Hub Celtics Zone here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Kyrie, right-hand dribble, stops on Van Vliet, throws out to Tatum. Tatum turns the corner on the block and floats it up and in. Tatum going towards the rim is nearly unstoppable. 117-112.
He is so long. Essentially, like Plastic Man, reaches it to the cup.
But anytime we get to him like that, you know, in any game, that's when our runs start. You know, obviously we can get some great threes in transition, but when we're attacking the rim and getting to the free throw line, we're a totally different team.
Yes, it needed to be said, Kyrie Irving. Love that play from Jason Tatum last night. Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Need more of it. Aggressiveness from Jason Tatum. And the Celtics overall, be aggressive. Be aggressive. And that's the type of play, at least in terms of Jason Tatum, that this is why one of the reasons I get so excited to watch him, because outside of Kyrie, just in terms of overall offensive talent, he might be the most gifted offensive player on this team. Works on that defense a little bit, doesn't turn into ISO J like he has here for unfortunate stretches throughout the early part of the season. You can see he gets a little bit more aggressive, goes to the rim. That's the type of player he can be. That's the reason you get pumped when you watch Jason Tatum and look at him as a foundational piece going forward. But why the rest of the team? And help me out with this. Again, Brian Robb, who covers the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. How many times last night I wanted to kick in my television, and it's been like this before, and watching Al Horford, like, he passes up a layup or a dunk, and yeah, he kicks it to Jaylen Brown in the corner, and I'm just, no! Like, is it because of the nerds and the reliance on the three in today's NBA? Is it just that simple?
I think it's part of it. I think he's just, himself is just unselfish anyway. So he, like, now he has the excuse now that the numbers say, okay, kick it out, and, you know, maybe I'm not looking for contact anyway, so I'm going to make that pass. And so sometimes it is the right play. Sometimes when you are going against, like, a 7-foot monster, it is a bad choice. But, like, you know, Valanciunas didn't play that much last night, so it was, like, not like Horford was going up against a rim protector there. And I'm going to try to talk to him about it, because it has come up almost like once or twice a game now, Jim. And it's a situation where the Celtics need more of those shots, not less.
Yeah.
They're not shooting well enough from three to justify, you know, doing that every time in.
Is a play like that, and specifically about Horford, is that, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I wanted to get your thoughts on what Kyrie Irving said earlier this week in terms of wanting a 14-year veteran. Is it something like that, and how passive that Al can be, at least on the floor sometimes? Do you think that's maybe who Kyrie was directing that comment to? What did you make of that whole thing?
Yeah, it's just that was just an interesting situation, Jim. And I would say, like, yeah, if there's anyone who's going to get offended by those things, it'd be Horford, or at least, like, directed towards. I don't think it was like that wasn't I don't think Kyrie's intention, but it does I do think it speaks to the fact that like Horford isn't like a huge like leader. You know, he does his work. He's a great like model for the players, but he's not a huge like in your face in the locker room type
grab
guy.
Grab your jersey, yell
exactly.
at you.
Yeah. Right. He's just not that guy, which is totally fine. The Celtics don't need him to be that guy. But I think Kyrie was like looking at it and being like, "Hey, maybe, you know, we kind of need someone like that with also the resume so everyone on the roster, whether they're young or old, like respects them too." And so I feel like, you know, again, nothing it's such a weird comment because they have a full roster, so it's like not they don't even have the option to like add a guy like that right now.
Well, and they have veterans up right. and down the roster too. It's not like it's a team full of rookies and extremely young players. Like you've got a guy like Horford who's been in the league 12 years and Kyrie, you know, 7 or whatever it is now, and even a guy like Marcus Morris been around 7-8 years. Like they have veterans. So right. it really felt like it came out of nowhere. If he named a name and was more specific, if he said a Kendrick Perkins type, like, okay, like, I think that they maybe sure. do lack someone that would grab a jersey and MF someone if they were, you know, having a bad game or slouching on a night. But I still don't, I don't know, I can't make heads or tails of what the hell he meant by that.
Yeah, I think he hung out in Cleveland with, like, you know, LeBron always had, like, DeJames Jones. Like, that guy was always there on teams he was on. So I guess he just takes it for granted, and that may be what he was alluding to there.
Yeah.
But just given what this team's at and how much, he said, how much veteran, how much talent they have, It was a bizarre situation.
Nate in Orlando, Florida. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hi, Nate.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
First thing, Jim, can you ask Phil Dirk, can we get an update on the Kyrie Irving Cleveland trade? When you get in on Monday?
I'll try, but Nate, I can tell you he's probably pretty dug in on that at this point. I don't know if he's ever going to change his mind
yeah.
on that.
Yeah. Top five worst takes on this radio station ever. But anyway, after last night's game, they showed a stat on TV that said in the past, like last season and this season, the last three, last six games between these two teams is 3-3, and the home team winning all of those games. And after watching that, like, it was hard for me to be encouraged because this is what I expected from this team. I expected them to put so much effort on the home court. Jason Tatum looked incredible defensively that second half. I mean, where was he on defense during the road trip? I mean, Kyrie Irving even. That he had a crazy play against Kawhi. We got that jump ball, that like strip. I'm like, oh my goodness, when did Kyrie turn into Avery Bradley? This team at home, they look unbeatable, but on the road, it's just I just need them to really make a statement the next time they go on the road, especially against, you know, Toronto and Milwaukee. These are going to be potentially 55 win teams. We're going to have two teams that could win 55 games this season, and what is that going to mean for, you know, playoff seeding? So. It was a great win, but I don't know. It's just hard for me to really look at that and be super encouraged.
Oh, okay. All right, Nate. Thanks for the call. Appreciate the honesty there because I, you know, look, I'm often get accused by both Mike and Tony that I'm a little too drastic, but I am. I admit. And, like, I don't know. I look at that last night and I feel a hell of a lot more better about the team. Chicago, whatever. Like, that really didn't mean much to me. That last night and that, how they were down, it looked like it was, you know, getting away from them in that third quarter, and they're down 5 with a couple of minutes to play in the fourth. It was like, oh, geez, like, this, we're going to be talking about this again. And now the Raptors really do look like they're better than them. They come into their own house and push them around. No. And it was mostly because of Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. But Kyrie, specifically, was like, no, this isn't happening tonight. I feel good about that, and I think you should, too. Paul in Danvers, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Murray, what's up, man? I just want to tell you that you're awesome, and the show's phenomenal. I listen every Saturday on my way to work.
Hey, thanks.
So I just have a hypothetical, basically. So I wouldn't trade Brown, but if you were to trade Brown and Rozier as a package, what's the potential player you could get back? I'm going to hang up and listen, okay? Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. I will defer to the man who actually covers the team for a living, hypothetically speaking, in a package, you know, Brown, Terry Rozier. What kind of player could you get back? I can't imagine it would be something phenomenal because of the expiring contract for Rozier, but it has to be something decent.
Yeah, I mean, talent-wise, you're going to get something good there. You're not going to get an all-star, but you should get, obviously, something pretty close to it. The problem is, like you said, Jim, the money is that both of those guys make a combined, I think, like $7 to $8 million. And then, you know, those, the type of guys the Celtics would need that make that kind of money just aren't available. Like, if the only people that make that little money that are that good are like on rookie deals, and those teams aren't going to move those guys.
On Rozier, because he, you know, not that great again for him last night. What do you think ends up happening here? Does he get moved between now and the deadline?
I don't think so, Jim. I think it's a situation where, you know, we saw last year how much depth matters, like injuries. Like, and as long as Rozier...
So do you think, no, sorry to cut you off, but do you think that they look at him, that Danny Ainge looks at him, or even Brad Stevens looks at Rozier and says, at the very least, he's Kyrie insurance in case anything went wrong there?
Right. And okay. I think, like, over the long term, like, you know, him or Marcus Smart, I don't think they know who they're going to keep there. And, like, in going into the future, like, Terry Rozier could help with a sign and trade next summer for a guy named, you know, Anthony Davis, potentially. So, like, there's a lot of factors that he can help them in the long term, even if he's not going to stay here. And then for now, like, they're all in on this season. If they were going to trade him, I feel like they would have done it already. They would have done it back of the draft. They would have, you know, fortified what they could get there, because they're not going to get anything more now for him. Like, his value is, like, I'd say declining now based on what it was last offseason. So, you know, based on how important he is for them on the floor and the fact that I don't think they could get something back comparable to what he gives them now, I just don't see it happening.
Quick turnaround for the Celtics. They're right back at it tonight. So what's next for them? We'll touch on that. And there's obviously a great drama going on throughout the NBA as well, specifically with the reigning champion Golden State Warriors. I want to touch on the beef between Kevin Durant and Draymond Green next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is Gordon Hayward on the home of the Boston Celtics, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Comments.
No, it's the Celtics against the Utah Jazz. Boo? Makes no sense. Some of the other drama that's going on throughout the league. The best story right now, of course, is what's going on between Kevin Durant and Draymond Green. The word bitch being thrown around quite liberally from Draymond Green based on everything that you read from the coverage on Yahoo Sports. I love this story. I love the Real Housewives of the NBA drama. And this thing really looks like, and so there's the clip too. And it's lip reading, so you can obviously kind of transform it into what you want it to be. But I'll tell you, it really looks like Kevin Durant leaving the floor at the end of regulation when Draymond Green doesn't pass to him, says, and this is why I'm out. It just feels like that thing is heading to an ugly divorce. Or, at the very least, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on this, Joe and B-Rob, like, that it feels like they're going to get, you know, that was a... That locker room had issues last year. If Chris Paul doesn't go out in the Western Conference Finals with the injury... I liked Houston in Game 7, but the ball ends up in James Harden's hands too much, and they, you know, shoot themselves out of the game, just like the Celtics shot themselves out of Game 7 against LeBron and the Cavs last year. But I just feel like if this continues, like, the Warriors are going to get tripped up here. Like, I don't think that they're a lock for the finals if this kind of thing is happening this early in the season.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen, and Steph Curry's injury, again, is happening with that team. I think Draymond's a big part of what makes that team go. But I think in reality, it's Kevin Durant probably will move on. And I think that's where Draymond got into it and said, hey, we won without you. Not to mention Draymond Green, you're the first guy who recruited Kevin Durant to come over the team. But I think no matter what here, Jim, this is it for Kevin Durant. He's not coming back. He's, you know, probably going to go to Washington or somewhere else. I don't know. Maybe even the Celtics may be able to work it out. Big Baby Davis said that this week.
Yeah.
So, but I think Durant's done, and I think they know it. And slowly but surely, just like the Patriots, some ends are going to happen, and you know, maybe Draymond Green's the first domino to help make that happen. But I think Durant's gone no matter what next year.
Yeah, the reporting on this has been great from a combination of Adrian Wojnarowski on ESPN, the guys at Yahoo from Shams, Sharania, let me say, I always butcher that name, and Chris Haynes. And so if you haven't read any of this stuff, I mean, the money lines are Draymond Green shouts, "You're a bitch and you know you're a bitch," the rhetoric sources say, continued even when Steve Kerr, the head coach, attempted to direct the team's attention to the whiteboard. So they're like, okay, trying to draw up a play. You're a bitch and you know you're a bitch, Kevin Durant. Green went on to blurt to Durant something along the lines of, "We don't need you. We won without you. Leave." And while I like the whole story here, ultimately, like, as great of a player as Durant is, Joe, I'm with you, like, Draymond Green's kind of the, you know, he's the stir, he's the drink, the straw that stirs the drink there, you know? Like, you need that kind of guy to muck it up and get in with guys. The only issue is, with a player like that, sometimes it ends up happening in your own locker room. But it does feel like that whole thing is going to end ugly, and maybe Durant ends up with the New York Knicks, maybe it's D.C., so he goes back home, maybe even Texas, you know, somewhere in Texas, maybe he ends up with the Dallas Mavericks, but it feels like that thing is over.
Do you feel like, Jim, like, how, I mean, Draymond's going to be a free agent too. So based on how he's treated here, do you feel like that could, like, you know, even if Durant decides, hey, I'm out of here, you think any chance Draymond's like, screw you guys. You guys are like trying to, you know, coddle him over me, and now, you know, give me the max or else I'm out of here.
Oh, possibly. Yeah. I mean, look, that thing, like Joe said, it's what happened with the Patriots here, too. Like, in sports or, like, in any aspect of life, things usually don't end like it's, you know, all puppy dogs and rainbows. Most things end pretty ugly. That's just the way that it is. So whether that's Draymond or Durant, yeah, I could see him leaving there, too. And he'd go out in the, you know, burning bridges in a ball of flames. 617-779-0985, the phone number you want to squeeze in. Any other Celtics thoughts before we wrap up the show today? Again, giant win for the Celtics last night. What I called a must win of the Toronto Raptors. A giant night from Kyrie Irving, who essentially put on his Superman cape and just said, no, it ain't happening. We're not losing this game, when it started to look like it was going to be lost, even with a couple of minutes to go in regulation.
I got one for you. How about Jimmy Butler with the 76ers? I mean, That's going to bring a rivalry here. I mean, Butler's a guy that people may have been linked.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.